In today's show, we'll be talking to not one, but two top Scottish authors. We'll also be hearing more about Make a Noise in Libraries Fortnight and checking out what new books are entering the Talking Books Library. But first, here's a clip from the Stephen King collection of short stories, Everything's Eventual, read by Garrick Hagan.
The Man in the Black Suit. I am now a very old man, and this is something which happened to me when I was very young, only 9 years old. It was 1914, the summer after my brother Dan died in the West Field, and 3 years before America got into World War I. I've never told anyone about what happened at the fork in the stream that day, and I never will. At least, not with my mouth. I've decided to write it down, though, in this book, which I will leave on the table beside my bed. I can't write long, because my hands shake so these days, and I have next to no strength. But I don't think it will take long. Later, someone may find what I have written. That seems likely to me, as it is pretty much human nature to look in a book marked Diary after its owner has passed along. So, yes, my words will probably be read.
That's the voice of Garrick Hagan. Along with an extensive movie, TV, theatre and radio career, Garrick is the voice behind over 100 audiobooks recorded for a multitude of different publishers. In 1995, along with Liza Ross and William De Vries, he established the audiobook production company The Story Circle, and since has directed over 50 books, many of which have won major industry awards. And he joins me on the line. How are you today, Garrick?
I'm very well, thank you, Robert.
Well, first of all, you're certainly not a native British islander. How did you end up living and working in the UK?
Well, I got a scholarship from Stratford, Canada. I was a young Shakespearean actor, if you like. I went through a university spending my summers at the Stratford Shakespearean Festival playing, you know, the young Jew parts, and also studying there with a lot of teachers from England because they had a very good teaching program there. And so they gave me a bit of money, and then I came over here and then studied with a teachers here at Lambda and Bristol and at the Royal Court Theatre.
So how did your actual voice career start?
I think we just fell into that. At the time, I think when I was working in rep, I was working for very low sums of money. And when I came back to London, I then gravitated into voice because that was somewhere where you could do a very lucrative job very quickly, you know, especially when you were in commercials. And also dubbing for films, I did an awful lot of that. Not that that was so highly paid, but it was just great fun. So that was a very good part of the career. And then the books came much later when somebody up at Soundings invited me to read a book, having heard me on the radio. And then I just started reading books, which has been terrific.
And since then, you've now done over 100.
Yeah, I think I have a list. I keep a list, and I think I'm on about 131 now.
All right. What sort of books do you prefer to narrate?
Well, you know, I love thrillers. I've had some favorite books. Among them, Huckleberry Finn is my absolute favorite. But I've also had a lot of Ed McBain's, you know, the mystery novels, and I love those because they're so beautifully written. But just recently, I've been turning and seemingly getting a number of factual books. I've just read a wonderful book on the development of Al-Qaeda. I've had quite a variety of books. The Grapes of Wrath is another one of my absolute favourites.
So why did you decide to move sort of behind the microphone and establish Story Circle?
We were just, the three of us that you mentioned, were kind of feeling that we weren't being fully used, as our, you know, talents lay in the direction often of writing, in Bill Roberts' case and directing in my case and directing in Bill De Vries' case. So we just wanted to do more. Also, we liked, at the time, my children were younger, and they enthused about the point horror stories, and my daughter particularly led us in the direction of the point horror stories, which we thought would make marvelous dramatic material. So we dramatized the stories and then produced them rather in the style of old radio, using spot techniques that I had remembered from my early radio days when I was a child, and also using the actors we knew in London, who we had a lot of friends who were acting here, and we pulled them in to do 2 days recording on these, and they were wonderful. We did a lot of sound effects and music, and they sort of gave us the springboard. In fact, from that came Philip Pullman's his Dark Materials, because Random House in New York heard our productions and liked them, and invited us to do the Golden Compass, the first book, or what they call here Northern Light.
So you've done all the Philip Pullman Dark Materials trilogy books, then?
Yes, I mean that was the pinnacle of our work so far. In terms of it's an enormous work and a wonderful, beautifully written work, and it's 39 hours. All together, the three parts of the trilogy. And I used a total of something, I think 41 actors over a period of a long time. I mean, we did them over 3 years. As Philip would finish a book, we would then do the production with Philip narrating. And then all the other characters around him I cast. And he, at the very end, I got this wonderful feeling of satisfaction, because Philip said that he couldn't imagine a better cast. And I know he's a very kind man, but I think he really meant it. I was terribly proud of everybody who was in it, because they were all so good.
So what big names have you worked with while directing for Story Circle?
Well, I mean, I've had lovely opportunities. Time Warner in the States asked me to work with Joan Collins. And then over the years, I've worked with, for example, Charles Spencer on his book, and I've worked with Greta Scacchi just recently, Julie Walters just recently, and the list goes on. You know, Hugh Laurie did a marvelous job on Alexander McCall Smith's less well-known book called Portuguese Irregular Verbs, incredibly funny, and Hugh Laurie was absolutely marvelous. And I've also been lucky enough to do all of Alexander McCall Smith's, being since you're up in Scotland. And they're wonderful books to work on. And McCall Smith is delightful to talk to and in association with the readings. And I have a wonderful reader. Adjoa Ando does all the Mara Motswe books.
This is the number one ladies' detective agency.
Yeah. They're delightful to listen to. And our composer, Frank Schulmeier, has done wonderful music.
One I'm looking forward to listening to is Nick Mason's book about Pink Floyd.
Oh, well, yes. He was great to work with. And a very good writer. I mean, he's a very clever man, obviously, and he's managed his career post-Pink Floyd very well.
And also Leslie Phillips reading, is it Hello?
Yeah. Now, there was a man. It was just wonderful working with Leslie in the studio. He's as funny as he is on screen, and also very, very warm and kind. And the main thing I like is that most of these wonderful actors are really quite humble when they come to the studio. In other words, they don't mind being directed. Ian McKellen is the one that I hesitate to direct, because he's so good. But I still find Ian, or Sir Ian, very nice to work with.
Now, we've talked about your voice career. Now, what our listeners may not know is you're in possibly two of my favourite films.
What are they?
Well, Batman, certainly one of them.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, Star Wars.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Well, I'm going off to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the film I was in, which is A New Hope.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be in Los Angeles. That should be fun. All, I think about 60 actors are coming over to obviously party and also to sign autographs.
In case our listeners don't know, tell us a little bit about your part in A New Hope.
Well, my part as it exists is a brief stint as Big Darklighter in the attack on the Death Star, and just before in the hangar scene. But Biggs originally, and for those who know the book, is Luke Skywalker's best friend and sort of like an older brother, really. So there is a scene that you can find on the CD, not the DVD, but the CD-ROM called Behind the Magic, and all over the web, of course, a scene with Luke right at the beginning of the film when I'm trying to get him to come and join the Rebel Academy.
You've worked with many directors. What has been your favourite movie experience then?
Yeah, I mean, I can't list, say, one director. They each bring you something. You learn something from every one. I love Tim Burton. I thought he left me alone a lot, and my wife and I were both in that scene, and we pretty well improvised it to, you know, with Tim a long way away, and I like that. I like being left.
This is the opening scene of Batman, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Over the years, I've worked, with some wonderful film directors. Robert Aldrich, Richard Attenborough. In fact, I did two films for Richard Attenborough. One was Cry Freedom, in which I was down in Harare, and the other one, A Bridge Too Far, which coincided with Star Wars. That was in, of course, Arnhem, or near Arnhem in Holland. I've had some really nice experiences on film.
Finally, if someone wants to look at Story Circle and see what you're doing at the moment, how can they get in touch?
Oh, I'd be very pleased for them to look. It's our website is called The Story Circle, www.thestorycircle.com. Inside Radio.
That was Garrick Hagen. The website for Story Circle is www.thestorycircle.com. And for Biggs fans, he can be found at www.biggsdarklighter.com.